I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. Alex, could you take the mains down just a little bit? Thank you. Are you a person who's more like Ben Franklin or Charles Strauss? Ben Franklin or Charles Strauss? Ben Franklin, in a letter that he wrote in 1789 to Jean-Baptiste Leroy, said, "In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." That's a very fatalistic, cynical type of statement. None of us will escape death, and we know we can't escape taxes. Very cynical. Why so negative? It's a very, very witty posture of Benjamin Franklin. Or are you more like Charles Strauss? Anybody know who Charles Strauss is? Charles Strauss penned the mighty and immortal words that you and I all love, that say, "The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. When I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely, I just stick out my chin and grin and say, the sun will come out tomorrow." That's a certainty as well, isn't it? What kind of person are you, generally speaking? What kind of person are you today? Is the glass half empty or half full? Are you cynical? Are you fatalistic? Are you optimistic? Are you looking forward with hope and expectation? Beloved, can I tell you something? It's really irrelevant. Who put the glass there? Who filled it up as far as he did? Almighty God. It is important that we know and understand who we are. But God is so much bigger than our fatalistic or optimistic outlooks. God is so much higher, so much more powerful. The kind of people we are as we approach things can tend to be somewhat irrelevant. Cautiously said. And here in Romans, we know that the gospel is the power of God for everyone who believes. Paul and God, through Paul's pen, has gone to great lengths to explain to us the nature and the strength and the idea of faith. And how it is that Abraham, we're at a section now where Abraham was declared righteous by faith. The importance of faith cannot be overstated. Faith has always been central to a relationship with God. Ever since the very beginning. That is something that you can take to the bank. It's bankable. Do you know where that saying came from? When the financial markets and all those developed checks, you know, the little blank piece of paper that really has absolutely no value to it, tree pulp. It meant that you could take this piece of paper to the bank and receive what you were supposed to receive from the person because they have the money. It's a certainty. Take it to the bank. Faith has always been central to a relationship with God. Faith. Faith is simple and childlike. Faith is wonderful and beautiful. Faith is rich and deep doctrine and theology. People have died, given their very life's blood for this word. More than just the word, the nature and understanding of the importance of faith in the life of a believer. How it is that you and I are saved by Almighty God Is it a matter of doing or saying the right things or dressing the right way or being at the right church or talking the right way or being obedient? Is that how we're saved? Because we give enough, because we serve enough, because we sing enough, or is it simply trusting in God? Yes, faith. Simple. And yet rich and deep. For everything that we have. Now, in Romans, it's been very intense. And I hope you get that. Over the many months that we've been here, and rightly so. It's packed. There's a lot of stuff here. A lot of really good, wonderful stuff. And maybe you had the reaction as Alex was reading that, how is he going to make a sermon out of this? What is this? Well, today we get to relax a little. Today's not really hard. It can be intense, but it's meaningful. God's word is always meaningful. But I think the message for this morning coming from this text is very simple. Verse 13. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Abraham received a promise from God, and how he received that promise, how the promise came to him, was not by, as we've already seen, circumcision. It wasn't by the rite of some religious observance. That isn't what justified him or made him righteous in God's sight. It was faith. The promise that God made wasn't going to come by circumcision, nor was it going to come by the law of Moses. Hundreds of years later, Moses was born and raised. At least 400 years, if not more, most likely more, between Abraham and Moses. We know that they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years before Moses came as God's deliverer, before God gave the Ten Commandments and the law on Mount Sinai. The promise was given to Abraham and received not by circumcision, not by the law, but by faith. Fairly simple. Verse 14. For if those who are of the law of Moses are heirs, if they do receive the inheritance as an heir through the whole world would be theirs, then faith is made void and the promise is nullified. That's brilliant. That's absolutely astoundingly brilliant. If it could be by the law of Moses, if the Ten Commandments were the thing that we observe, that anyone were to observe to receive the inheritance, then faith is useless. It means nothing. There's no reason to have faith. There would be reason to receive the promise. There would be reason to keep the law. And there is, but it's not to get the inheritance, to be the heir. And if so, not only is faith made void, faith is shot, it's spent, it's no good, but also the promise that was made by God is declared null and void. No substance. Don't listen to it. If it was by the law, that's a big if. Pretty straightforward and simple. But for the law, verse 15, brings about wrath. But where there is no law, there also is no violation. You see, the purpose of the law is very clearly stated in Scripture. The law is there to bring about wrath. It demonstrates violation. All law is that way. You can't legislate morality. We legislate behavior. Hopefully, people will be moral and obey the law. What happens when you don't obey the law? You pay the consequence. When you violate the law, that's when the law takes effect. If you're driving within the speed limit, does the law have any effect on you? No. Because you're operating within the boundaries of the law. Release time is starting this Thursday. I love to do this. And most of the kids that have had me know I do this, and I've explained this before. There are rules. There are rules about respecting the building and respecting each other, keeping our hands and feet off the pews and not talking when somebody else is talking. Simple, easy, respectful stuff the kids need to be trained in. And I explained it to them like the room. It's the boundaries are the walls in the room. And inside the room, we can have a really good time. We can learn about God. We can sing. We might even have cupcakes or Oreos and milk. And I do that fairly regularly in my classes. So if you'd like to come to release time to get some Oreos and cupcakes, come on. And then I say, but there are certain rules and there are consequences. If you break the rules, you get a warning. Then you get to be outside. Then you get to go back to school until your teacher and your parents and I agree that you have to be respectful. They're like the walls. And then what I do is I walk very quickly over to the wall and I put my hand up on my forehead and I slam it into the wall. What happens when you try to walk through the wall? You get hurt. The wall is to keep you safe inside where you can enjoy what we're doing inside. That's the function of the law. The walls have no bearing until I try to break them. And when the law is violated, it brings forth guilt and wrath. Where there is no law, if we didn't have a release time covenant that we signed, would there be any violation? If there were no rules, could you possibly violate anything? No. For where there is no law, there is no violation. Everything is permissible. Very straight. But the law is like that proverbial line in the sand. Don't cross this line. You know, and we totter up to it, and we step, we look at the line, we know it's there, and as long as we don't cross it, we're okay. What happens when you cross the line? Well, there are consequences. That's what the law does. So what do these three verses mean for you and I? How do these have impact on our life of faith? I mean, the promise was given to Abraham. We don't live under the Mosaic law. Christ has fulfilled the law. We understand that we are justified by faith. We're post-Reformation people. Well, let's take a look at this promise that was made to Abraham. Keep your finger in Romans, but turn back to Genesis chapter 12. What was the promise to Abraham? Well, the promise is easy enough to read and appreciate. After creation, fall, flood, nations, Tower of Babel, the call of Abram out from Ur of the Chaldeans, we read chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all of the families of the earth will be blessed." That's where Paul gets the idea there in verse 3 that the inheritance is the whole world. God made a promise to Abraham. Look very carefully at who the promise is dependent upon. This is one of those promises and covenants that doesn't have a requirement attached to it. Abraham simply receives it. He's the beneficiary. Who does all the work? The promise is based on the character of Almighty God. I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. I am calling you forth from your country. I will show you the land that you will get. You don't go and stake your own property. You don't become your own blessing. You don't work for it. I give it. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham was made a great and mighty nation by Almighty God. It was his promise based on his faithfulness to pull it off. Did he do it? Well, turn back to the New Testament, to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. One of the first rules of interpreting Scripture is to let Scripture interpret Scripture. It takes a little digging sometimes, but it's worth the effort. Galatians 3:8. The church of Galatia in Galatia had a lot of issues. He calls them fools in the beginning of the chapter, and then he says this. The Scripture, in verse 8, well, start at verse 6. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. See, that's the Roman argument. That's where we're at. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of the faith who are sons of Abraham. We're children of Abraham because of faith. Same argument as Romans. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. Whoa. Genesis 12:3 is the gospel? It's the good news? That God will bless all of the families of the earth through Abraham? Yeah, that's the good news. The blessing is Jesus Christ. That is how all the families of the earth. You have the promise made to Abraham thousands of years ago, based upon the character of God, fulfilled in the person of Christ. That is the gospel. That's good news. Beloved, I had one, when reading Galatians chapter 3, I was just doing a cross-reference to the promise of Genesis 12. And I had this week one of those, I never saw that before moments. Do you ever have those when you read Scripture? It's like, well, wait a minute, how many times have I read? I never saw that before. I never saw that before. That by faith, that the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel in Abraham, so that those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. I never saw that before. That's an amazing thing. God's promise to Abraham is fulfilled in Christ, given to me like it was given to Abraham, based on the and given to you, based on God's character. That's why it is that faith works. That's what faith can do. That's why faith it is that justifies. That's how it does get into our lives. Because, beloved, the gospel is not just the small category that gets us into the heaven, into the eternal kingdom. It's not just faith. The gospel isn't just the tipping point. The gospel isn't just a little category. It's the big category. It's all in all. Whatever your need or circumstance is, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation for them that believe, faith, believing and trusting in God, the gospel is foundational in all of those circumstances. It's baseline. It's the starting point. So, for example, let's say you're ill. You have an illness or a loved one, you know, you've been doctoring and you have an illness. Why are you ill? You and I, the human race, was created perfect in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 3, we fell. And we live in a fallen world. And therefore, disease happens. Disease is a direct result of the fall. So what reverses the fall? The gospel. Faith alone in Jesus Christ makes us new creatures. Does that mean we escape disease? No. It means one day we will. We will be in a place where there is no more tears or crying or pain. It'll all be wiped away in heaven. Do you have to wait till then? Well, yes, technically you do. But in the meantime, what's the call? The call is for you and I to be good stewards. That's why we go to doctors. This is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And in the meantime, because God has purchased us with a price, it is on us to take good care of this and go to the doctor so that he can do what he does by God's grace to heal our body, he or she. And it's still the gospel. We have been bought for with a price. Your Lord and my Lord deserves good stewardship. Not to get us into heaven, but because he has saved us. The gospel is foundational. No matter what it is that you face currently, your need or circumstances. At our fall fling, we watched Soul Surfer. I'd never seen the whole movie. I really enjoyed it. And at the very end, there's an interview with Bethany Hamilton's character. And one of the reporter asks us, and I don't know if this is true to life or what, but it was a really good line. He says, Bethany, if you could go back to that day and choose not to surf, would you? And throughout the movie, she grows and she comes to an understanding. And she says something very profound. She said, no. No, but because of what happened, because the shark took my arm, I can embrace more people with one arm than I could with two. She came to a realization and an understanding that the difficulty in her life that she faced and lived through was God's purpose and plan for her life to share the gospel. The gospel was everything for her. It was foundational. And the gospel is that way. It is the big category. Earlier in the movie, when she was struggling with the question, the character that was played by Carrie, what's her name? Anyways, the country singer. How could this possibly be God's plan for my life? And all her spiritual mentor could say is, I don't know. But what I do know is that God is faithful. I don't know how your circumstance is going to work out, but I do know God's character. And God is faithful. God is working for his own glory, and the question for you and I, beloved, is, are you satisfied with his glory? Are you satisfied with him getting the glory? And this is where the rubber meets the road, personally. You know, I love The Office. I love that place. I love the color. I picked the color for me. I love the bookcase. I love my books. You know, I bought them. I read them. I love The Office. But you know what? It's not mine. And this might seem trivial to you, but it was a work that had to be done in my heart to realize that I could be taken out today and somebody else will be using that office as a pastor. We have multi-purpose rooms. None of us own these rooms. There's no my in the kingdom. My Lord, that's about it. We all get to share him. My children, Jason and Whitney will learn this, and maybe they know it already. My children are not my children. Yes, biologically they are, absolutely. But they are a heritage from the Lord. God has gifted Alex and Andrew to Beth and I. They are his. They're not mine. I don't get to keep them. I don't get to make them safe. I don't get to choose their friends. I don't get to keep them from disease. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. I cannot make them obedient. I can pray like crazy that they choose to follow the Lord all the days of their life. I could sweat blood and tears given to that, but I don't make that decision for them. I got to have the gospel when it comes to that. I need a faithful God. Amen. Faith is also, the gospel is also central to your walk of faith with him. You see, if the promise, if all of this was built on the law, on performance, we would be keeping the line in the sand and we would miss out on relationship with God. Is that really how you want to live? Do you want to just follow a bunch of rules and regulations with no warmth or emotion or acceptance or trust or love, of no guidance or any the cold, hard facts of the law? Or would you rather, by the gospel, through faith, know and love and serve Almighty God and be known by him? That's the amazing thing of faith. And it is as certain as the sun will come out tomorrow or that death and taxes will come. Because God is who God is. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today and for the opportunity we've had to gather in your presence to know your word. We thank you for the promise to Abraham. and that it was by faith obtained, and that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that promise. Please help us, Lord, to make the gospel central in all of our dealings and doings. Some of those things are really yucky, and some of those things are wonderfully glorious. But help us to know Jesus Christ in all of them, and the power, your power for salvation to everyone who believes. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. I'd like to call the guys up to lead me to the cross. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure seeing you and being with you. Thank you very much for your service.